future and all that.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد إن أصدق الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. We thank Allah Azza wa Jal for allowing us to come together in this blessed month, the month of Ramadan, in the year 1434, which is in correspondence to 2013, in the city of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. And indeed, it's incumbent upon us to thank those who were responsible for making my attendance possible. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man lam yashkur innas lam yashkur Allah." Who has not thanked the people, he has not thanked Allah. So I give my gratitude to those individuals who were responsible for inviting me to the masjid here in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. And indeed, us sitting together is something which is good. It is something which inshallah ta'ala it is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, because our Lord Baraka ta'ala said, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. And join together in righteousness and piety, and do not join together in sin and transgression. So we as brothers, we're trying to join together in righteousness and piety. We're trying to remind one another. We're trying to encourage one another in this blessed month. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wal asri innal insana lafi khusr." And we know the surah, Surah Al-Asr, verily by time men are destroyed. All of us are lost, all of us are destroyed, except those who believe and do righteous deeds. Wa tawasaw bil haqq wa tawasaw bis sabr. Those who enjoin the truth and enjoin patience. And that's what we're trying to do by coming together, is that we're trying to remind one another of that which would benefit us in this life and in the next life. All praise be to Allah. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ. We are in the month of good. We are in the month that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was mentioned about him that he was the most generous in all forms of good in the month of Ramadan. He was the most generous. وَأَجْوَدَ مَا كَانَ يَكُونُ فِي الرَّمَضَانِ أَوْ أَجْوَدَ مَا يَكُونُ فِي الرَّمَضَانِ. The most generous that our Prophet ﷺ was in the month of Ramadan. And that doesn't only mean wealth, but that means in all forms of good. Reminding one another, encouraging one another, in all forms of good. So, us sitting and reminding one another of our responsibilities and our obligations in the religion, and that which we should be upon, this is of our generosity. This is the generosity that we're trying to show for one another as Muslims. One thing we should understand is that our religion is a religion that calls for all forms of good. Anything which is good, And we don't make our criteria the society that we live in. No, we make our criteria that which is good with Allah. Anything that's good with Allah, our religion tells us to race toward it. Allah Ta'ala says, فَاسْتَبَقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Race toward good deeds. Race towards all forms of good. And Allah Ta'ala says, فَاسْتَبِقُوا. Yani race. It's like we're racing. Because we understand that there's a common goal amongst all of us, and that is to reach the Jannah of our Lord, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That is to reach the Jannah of our Lord. So we have to race toward it. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala said about the prophets and the messengers, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. Allah said about the prophets and the messengers, they used to race. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ. Sira'ah is that you race. So Allah described the prophets and the messengers as individuals who actually race toward good deeds. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَيَدْعُونَنَا. And they used to call on Allah with hope and fear. And the prophets and the messengers, they are our examples. They are the individuals that Allah Azza wa Jal sent as an example to the creation. So we should be upon the same thing. We should be upon racing towards good deeds. Now there's no doubt that all of us find that our race can become deterred. We might take a detour. We might take a detour at times. We might become lazy at times. We might become stagnant at times. And that is because there is an individual or individuals that prevent us from racing. That prevent us from, you know, going toward all forms of good. Now in the month of Ramadan, Allah Azza wa Jal has kept that individual back. As the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, إِذَا دَخَلَ رَمَضَانِ فُتِّحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ وَغُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ النَّارِ وَصُفِّدَتِ الشَّيَاطِينَ. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and like I said, keep in mind, racing, because Allah mentioned it, racing toward good deeds, racing towards ibadah, racing toward jinnah. But we find, like I said, at times we take a detour, we become stagnant, we become lazy, so we don't have that race, we don't have that diligence within us. And like we said, it's because of there's an individual that wants to hold us back, or individuals that want to hold us back. But now is the time to get your race on. Because Allah Azza wa Jal, or the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when Ramadan enters, the doors of paradise are open, the doors of the hellfire are closed, and the shayateen are locked away. So, the reality is, if you and all of us are guilty of this, if we at times felt laziness, or if we at times felt that we couldn't excel at the rate that we would like to, or we couldn't excel at all, then know now it's time for you to excel, because Allah has assisted you by holding back the individual that was deterring you. Allah has assisted you. So Allah is holding him back. Now what is it? What is upon the individual who is sincere? If you were, and we are, if you were in an actual race, and we are in an actual race, now the individual that was holding you back, he's being held back. So what are you going to do now? Now it's time for you to show your sincerity. Now it's time for you to show, are you in it to win? Because he's being held back. Now, and the Prophet ﷺ said that, وَصُفِّدَتْ الشَّيَاطِينَ. The shayateen are locked away. Now if, and this is sad to say, if you still find yourself lazy, if you still find yourself stagnant, that's for either one of two reasons. That's for one of two reasons, or even both. Either that individual who throughout the year he stops you and weighs you down, either he's affected you so much. He's affected you so much that now he's held back. Now he's held back, but you still find the effects of his whispering. You still find the effects of his trying to, you know, persuade you and trying to, you know, guide you in the wrong direction. He has affected you in such a way that now he's held back, but you know what? You can't excel because you're affected by him so much. That's one. Or, and the next one, and the first one is possible. It's possible for all of us. Because there's no doubt we're affected by him. يوسوس إلينا. He whispers to us. He persuades us. So all of us are affected by him. So yeah, at times when he's held back, we don't find ourselves excelling because we're so much affected by him. But the second is worse, and that is you're not really sincere in your race. You don't really want to excel. You're not really committed to the race. So it's not him, it's you yourself. It's you yourself. Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyama kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. O you who believe, siyam has been prescribed for you, just as it has been prescribed for those who came before you, so that you may establish taqwa. So that you may establish taqwa. Taqwa is that which helps you excel. Taqwa is that which helps you race. All of us are in need of taqwa. All of us in need of that which gives us that energy, that strength, that commitment. All of us are in need of it. So Allah has established Ramadan so that we can benefit. Because this is that which would allow us to excel. And taqwa is so strong within itself. It's so strong within itself that if a person establishes the taqwa, there's no way the shaitan's going to catch him on the race field. There's no way he's going to catch him on the track. Because you're always excelling by way of taqwa. Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتَّكِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever fears Allah, Allah makes a way from him. وَمَنْ يَتَّكِ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ هَيْثُ لَمْ يَحْتَسِبْ. Whoever fears Allah, Allah would provide from him, from places he never expected. Allah Ta'ala says, وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And the people with taqwa, they will have the end result. ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامِ وَخَافَ وَعِيدِ. Jannah is for the people that fear standing in front of me and fear my punishment. So fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla is that which is going to allow us to excel. Is that which is going to allow us to win the race. Ramadan has been established so that you can have taqwa. So now it's time for you to get it. It's time for you to get it. Tight. It's clear to us, bi-idhnillah, that we have an individual who's trying to stop us. An individual who's trying to hold us back. But the reality, keep in mind, and throughout the talk, bi-idhnillah ta'ala, I'm going to strike, and I'm going to constantly refer to this parable of running on a track field. I'm going to refer to it. And walillah alhamd, you know, بضرب المثال يتضح المقال. As the ulama say, by striking an example, that which you're trying to teach becomes clearer. And our Lord does it in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always, you know, throughout the Quran, our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strikes parables. You know, Allahu nur samawati wal ard, مثل نوره كمشكات فيها مصباح. المصباح في زجاجة الزجاجة كأنها كوكب. To the end of the verse in Surah An-Nur, Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth, the example of His light. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to strike parables. وَيَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالَ لِلنَّاسِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Allah strikes parables for the people. So I'm going to constantly refer to this parable of us running on a track field. Although, and walillah alhamd, you know, we find that our Lord does it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. Even the ulama of the past, and from amongst the most prominent ulama who I have come across in striking parables, is Ibn Qayyim. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala, in striking parables, and he's very unique and precise in those parables, and we can understand them. We can understand them. You know, but in striking that parable, of us on a track field, it is similar, but there are major differences in our race and the race of the shaitan. Before continuing, the similarities are clear. We're racing. And there's a finish line, and that is Jannah. And, and it's a long race, and it's a difficult race. It's not easy. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, where he said, مثلاً, that Jannah is surrounded with trials and tribulations. And the hellfire is surrounded with ease. So that which we're trying to accomplish, which is Jannah, which is the goal, it's going to be accompanied with trials and tribulations. It's going to be accompanied with trials and tribulations. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ قَوْمًا إِبْتَلَاهُمْ. If Allah loves people, He's going to test them. So it's a race. And it's not an easy race, because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants to test your sincerity. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَكُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, do the people feel that they will be left to say that we believe and they will not be tested? وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and we have tested those who came before them. And we have tested those who came before them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ. We're going to test you with something of fear and hunger. وَنَقْصٌ مِنَ الْأَمْوَاتِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. We're going to test you with fear and hunger. And we're going to decrease your lives, your wealth, and your fruits. So Allah is going to test you. And He's not going to test you by one way. He's going to test you by many ways. So yeah, it's a track. And we're running. And the goal is Jannah. But we have our speed bumps. We have our pitfalls. We have our distractions. We have our detours. That actually, it's not really a detour to get back on the path. Any common day detours put you back on the path. The detours that are on the path to Jannah don't put you back on the path. It's a detour that would lead you in the opposite direction. But another difference of that parable of us racing, when it comes to the believers on the track, وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ. When it comes to the believers that are on the track, وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ, they're all racing toward Jannah. They're all racing toward Jannah. But when the shaitan meets you on that path, he's a different kind of component. He's a different type of opponent. He's a different type of opponent because his purpose of being on the track is not so that he can get to Jannah first. It's so that no one wins this race. The other believers that are left and to the right of me, my brothers and my sisters that are on the path, we all want Jannah. So we're all, it's not that we want to get there first and we don't want anyone else to get there. No, we want to get there and we want everyone else to get there. We want everyone else to get there. That was the way of our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was approached and asked, do you want us to destroy these people and those people? And the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, la. Maybe there will be people from their offspring who worship Allah Azza wa Jal. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was calling his people for 950 years. He wanted good for them. Inni da'awtuhum laylan wa nahara. Nuh said, I called them day and night. Inni da'awtu qawmi laylan wa nahara. I called my people day and night. We don't do that. We're not close to that. Look at them calling the people day and night. There's not a path. There's not a direction. There's not a place except that they were calling to. So the ways of the prophets and the messengers, and it should be the ways of us, is that we're racing, and we want the people that are also racing with us to reach the goal. But the shaitan is on the path and he doesn't want you to reach the goal. Not that he wants to reach it first. He doesn't want anyone to win this race. So that's the difference. Another thing about similarity and differences between that path is that, and we all know it because we've seen it and we've lived it. And that's the thing about the parables, is the closer it is to the life of the individual, the more beneficial it is. When we race, we can see an individual catching up. إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ. He sees you and you don't see him. So you can't see him. I can see if, you know, and وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ. If I come to the masjid, or if I miss coming to the masjid, and finally I come to the masjid, and I see that their brothers, you know, subhanAllah, racing toward the first row. You get here late, there's brother, the first row is full. What do you say? When you come next time, you wanna get the first row. So you can see people racing, so it helps you to race. It encourages you. You see people moving forward, it encourages you to move forward. You come to the masjid, you see somebody reading Quran. You say, subhanAllah, you know, I need to start reading Quran. You get with a brother, he says, ya akhi, I just finished Juz Amma. You say, subhanAllah, you finished it? He say, yeah, I finished it. You think, I haven't finished it. I wanna finish it. So when you're on an actual track, you can see your opponent. But you can't see him. You can't see him. So you don't know where he is. Type. An example, which is, shows you the difference. The individual who's racing with you, like I said, from amongst the believers, we all want to win this race. So we're just moving forward. I'm just moving. I'm moving. And I'm telling to you, come with me, ya akhi. Come with me. As the Prophet ﷺ used to say to his companions. The Prophet ﷺ used to always encourage his companions. An individual came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, inni uhibbuk. Individual came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, I love you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, A'ini ala nafsik bi kathrat as-sujud. Help me help you by making a lot of prostration. By making a lot of prostration. Let's help one another. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Mu'adh bin Jabal, Ya Mu'adh, inni uhibbuk. He said to Mu'adh, oh Mu'adh, I love you. So don't forget to say at the end of each prayer, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatika. Oh Mu'adh, I love you. I want you to win this race. So don't forget to say at the end of every prayer, oh Allah, help me to remember you. Oh Allah, help me to be grateful to you. Oh Allah, help me to worship you upon good. The parable of the believers upon the track, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's at the head. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying to Mu'adh, oh Mu'adh, I love you. So don't forget to do this. Why? Because this is that which is going to help you on the sirat. This is that which is going to help you excel. So that's what the believers do. But the shaitan, he's not running in front of you, running beside you. No. He's putting sticks in front of you. He's running ahead and putting holes in front of you. He's putting strings across the trap. So notice what he's doing. Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, inna shaytana lakum aduun fattakhidhu adu. Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Fatir, in Surah Al-Nur, Allah Ta'ala says, Oh, you who believe, verily the shaitan is an enemy, so take him as an enemy. Take him as an enemy, he's an enemy. Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ya ayyuhal nas, kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiba, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Allah Ta'ala says, O you who believe, eat from the earth that which is halal and good, and don't follow the traps, the path of the shaitan. He is an open enemy to you. He's an open enemy to you. So we as believers, we have to understand that this individual is an enemy. إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ Allah says He orders you to do evil and things which are despicable to Allah. He orders you. إِنَّمَا يَدْعُو حِزْبَهُ Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَدْعُو حِزْبَهُ In Surah Fatir, verily He calls His tribe لِيَكُونُوا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ So that they can all go to hell. إِنَّمَا يَدْعُو He calls His tribe so that they can all go to hell. SubhanAllah. Allahu yad'u ila dar as-salam. Allah calls you to the place of peace. Allah calls you to the place of peace. So let's look. There's two callers. Innama yad'u hizbahu. The shaitan calls his tribe so that they can be from the inhabitants of the hellfire. And Allah calls to salam. Allah calls to peace. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلْرَسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ Allah says, O you who believe, answer the call of Allah and His Messenger when they call you to that which gives you life. So Allah calls. And the shaitan calls. So the reality is, this is something, we're in a major battle. We're in a major battle. And the believer has to actualize that. You have to reflect over that in order for you to win. Because if not, you're just going to continue walking and you're going to take this detour and you're going to be stagnant and you're going to sit. Yeah, there's some from amongst us that sit. We don't race. And he's happy with that. He's happy with that because in reality, there's no sitting. Either you're going forward or you're going back. The shaitan will make you think you're sitting. He'll make you think that you're sitting, but there's no sitting. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْنَا الْمُسْتَقْدِيمِينَ مِنْكُمْ وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْنَا الْمُسْتَأْخِرِينَ Allah Ta'ala says, we know those who are going forward and we know those who are going backward. So there's no sitting. Either you're moving forward or you're moving backward. And the individual who is sitting, he's actually moving backward. Because the shaitan doesn't leave you to sit. He doesn't want you on the sirat. At all. So know the plots of the shaitan. Know the plots of the shaitan. لَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ Do not follow the path of the shaitan. Don't follow the plan. A khutwa is a path. It's a plan. It's something that's organized. Yeah. This individual is very organized. We've said it in many lectures in the past. This individual doesn't have a year's experience, 2 years experience. He doesn't have 10 years experience. He doesn't have 100 years experience. He has thousands and thousands of years experience. He is al-khannas. As we say, min sharri al-waswas al-khannas. You know what a khannas is? A person that comes and then falls back. He comes and then he falls back. Why does he fall back? Because he wants to come from you from a different direction that you did not expect. And that's why we seek refuge in al-khannas. The one that approaches and reproaches. Then he comes to you from a different direction. And that's why he said to Allah Azza wa Jal, فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ Because of you kicking me out, because of you humiliating me, I'm going to sit on the path. Not that he's on the side of it, not that he's on, no, he's going to sit on the path. He's going to make sure that you don't tread this path. ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ In another verse, I'm going to come to them from the front, from the back, from the left, from the right. ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ I'm going to come to them from the front. So in the path that you're going, he's going to come to you. Wow, subhanAllah. And you're on the path of good. You are on the path of good. So the shaitan might even come to you in the manner of good. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, وَإِذْ زَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ وَقَالَ لَا غَالِبَ لَكُمُ الْيَوْمَ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَإِنِّي جَارٌ لَكُمْ. The shaitan said to the people, and this is very interesting. He said to the people in the battle of Badr, he beautified their actions. وَإِذْ زَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. The shaitan beautified their actions. وَقَالَ لَا غَالِبَ لَكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. He said, no one will conquer you today. وَإِنِّي جَارٌ لَكُمْ. And I am your supporter. طيب. So he came to these people, and he came to them in the form of good actions. And he said, no one's going to conquer you today. I'm going to support you today. So that's what he does that. He tells you, you're going to be all right. Everything going to be good. No one going to conquer you. No one going to trick you. So he even comes to you in a form of good. But in those verses, it shows you that he is so deceptive. He doesn't only strike against the believers, because he wasn't talking to the believers at that time. He was talking to the disbelievers at that time. The shaitan, he not only wants to lead us astray, but he wants to lead them astray as well. Because in those verses, he was not talking to the believers. He was talking to the disbelievers. He was talking to the disbelievers. So, and the shaitan, is it that he's the type of individual that he has waged a war only upon the believers? No. He's even waged a war against the disbelievers, because he doesn't want them to. And they're on the wrong path. We know the disbelievers are on the wrong path. But there is a path that they can possibly find. There is a path that they can possibly find. So he wants to lead them far away from that path. So those who are on the path, let me get them off the path. And those who can find the path, let me make sure they don't find the path. Look at the extent of his deception. Look at this extent of his deception. طيب. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, وَقَالَ لَكُمَا إِنِّي لَكُمَا مِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentioned about the shaitan coming to Adam and his wife, Hawa. وَقَالَ لَكُمَا إِنِّي لَكُمَا مِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ فَدَلَّهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ. And he actually, from the beginning, مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. He came to Adam, our father and our mother. Came to them. And he came to them in the form of an advisor. SubhanAllah, there wasn't all these cars and all of these buildings and all of this wealth. It was a garden. And the shaitan is trying to lead them astray in preparation for their offspring. Yani, not only is he a deceiver that we can't see, that comes to us in the form of good, but he comes to you in a manner to lead you astray, so that whatever comes from you would also be led astray. So that whatever comes from you would also be led astray. Let me guide him astray. And this shirk, and this kufr, and this bid'ah, and this sin would remain in him for 30 years. He can get married after this. He can have kids after this. I've led him so far astray that I've also led his wife and his children astray, even though they haven't entered his life yet. مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. Your Lord has not forbid you from this tree, except he wants you not to be angels. Your Lord has, it's only Adam and Eve. There was no children yet. There was no offspring yet. Why is he focusing on them? We are why he's focusing on them, because where are we now? So has his influence, did it remain in Adam and Eve? Did it remain in the grandchildren of Adam and Eve? Here we are thousands of years after Adam and Eve, and we're still affected by what first took place. Your Lord has not forbidden you from this tree. Except that your Lord did not want you to become angels, and your Lord did not want you to remain in this garden. وَقَالَ لَهُمَا And then he said to them, إِنِّي لَكُمَ مَنَ النَّاسِحِينَ I am sincere to you. This is what he said to our father and our mother. So, فَدَلَّهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ So he deceived them. And we're still feeling it today. So the shaitan, not only is he a deceiver, not only does he trick, not only does he plot, but he intends to get so deep inside of you, 10, 15, 20 years later, you still can't get him off your back. And that which is in you of his deception, it's going to go to your children. And it might even go to your grandchildren. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like we said in the beginning, he said, no, don't destroy those people. Maybe their offspring would worship Allah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have only sent you as a mercy. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would intend for the individual and the lineage of the individual to be upright. To be upright. But the shaitan intends for the individual and the lineage of the individual to be corrupt. So he plants his seeds. The reality is, ya ikhwan, this is something extremely important for us to realize what we're up against. And when an individual is able to put the shaitan and his plots and his plans in the right perspective, then that individual can equip himself or herself better. So my advice to my brothers and sisters, my sincere advice to my brothers and sisters, is that you take some time to learn the plots of the shaitan. He beautifies your actions. He beautifies your statements. He makes you think that you're upon good. But indeed, وَمَا يَعِدِهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا He only promises you with deviation. So the reality is we have to take some time to learn this. We have to take some time to realize where we're going astray. We have to take some time to realize that we're up against an individual who's very patient. La ilaha illallah. Very patient. He might plot, he might put you in a situation that chisels at your iman, literally chisels at your iman, to break you after 10 years. It's okay. He'll say, I got all the time in the world. My destination is where? My destination is the hellfire. I have no hope. I have no hope. There's no chance for me. So I got all the time in the world. And that's what he says, and we know it, and I've said it in many lectures before. Allah promised you, and I promised you. I only called you, فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي, and you answered me. Don't blame me, blame yourselves. That's his reality. Got all the time in the world. He'll be patient with you. You protect yourself from one direction. I'm al-khannas. He retracts. He'll come at you from a different direction. You think you're upon good? I'll get you with that way as well. You think you're upon something of good? You think you're upon some istiqamah? I'll come to you in another way. I'll write it down. I'll plan. It's khutwat. It is a plan. It is steps. So this is my advice, and we can continue, and inshallah, the next, you know, tomorrow we would also continue. But the reality is, he doesn't like these kind of talks. He doesn't like that we sit down and we discuss him. We discuss his affair. We discuss his traps. We discuss his means of entering upon the individual. He doesn't like that, so expect that he's going to come even stronger. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. نعم. I didn't put, forgive me, at times I forget, you know, some of the verses I mentioned, Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Al-Fatir, but the other ones, I can't recall right now, but I'll give them to you later, inshallah. I'll definitely give them to you later. No. No. But when she sits down or doing something, it doesn't bother her. So, I said, is it just a day? She said, no, it's just like just a 3 days. No. So, I told her, let me find out before you continue the fast. This is something that, you know, it's a headache. I mean, she said it's still bad. No. Before we answer this question, or we mention a question and then we answer it, remind the sisters that we're entertaining some questions now. So if they have questions, they can write them down and send them down, inshallah. The brother's asking about his daughter, 9 years old. She's fasting, and in the daytime, she finds that when she stands up, she becomes dizzy. And the brother would like to know, as it relates to this dizziness. For one, if she's has reached the age of puberty, then it's obligatory for her to fast. If she hasn't reached the age of puberty, then it's not obligatory for her to fast. Although the companions, the Sahaba, they used to encourage their young to fast. But so if she has reached the age of puberty, then what I would advise is that she takes suhoor, you know, and that she takes suhoor late, right before Fajr. Because if she's not taking what she should take for suhoor, such as water and nutrients and the likes of that, then she will feel that dizziness. So what's important is that she takes suhoor. Some of us as parents, we want our children to fast and we encourage them to fast, but we don't provide the suhoor. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned akalat suhoor barakah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned eating suhoor, which is the breakfast before Fajr. He said it's blessed. You know, so, and the reason why it's blessed, for one, it's implementing the sunnah. For two, it was the way of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for three, it nourishes your body so that you can complete the day. So this is something important that she takes suhoor. Another thing that if she has, and you might know from the doctors, if she has a deficiency in the form of vitamins, then maybe you want to give her some vitamins along with her suhoor. She also takes vitamins. Maybe she takes honey. Maybe she takes black seed. These are things that would strengthen her body so she doesn't have difficulty throughout the day. Also, what's important is throughout the day, she doesn't do a lot of the activities like the young, they like to run and they like to play. And we find that some of our children, they play in the sun. They play in the sun in Ramadan. This is going to affect them. Sleeping late at night. That's not necessarily a problem. That won't affect the fasting. You know, that's allowed and it won't affect the fasting. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to encourage, the daytime nap. He used to encourage that we take a nap in the daytime. So this would strengthen our body as well. But those are the things that I can advise. The suhoor, she should take the suhoor. And it shouldn't be just a bowl of cereal, because this won't, I mean, we're fasting in America, we're fasting about 18 hours. You know, about 16 and a half hours. In Canada, we were fasting about 17 hours. You know, so a bowl of cereal won't be enough. You know, she should take a good meal. You know, and that meal should be filled with nutrients and the likes of that. Maybe put some vitamins. Anything that would strengthen her body, you know, she gets the calories that she needs during the day. She shouldn't play in the sun. She shouldn't run around and do anything which takes her energy. But if she is not of the age of puberty, she doesn't have to fast. You know, so maybe she fasts a portion of the day, and a portion of the day she breaks her fast if she's not of the age of puberty. This is that which I can advise. No.
Whatever.
the one that sits. Now, you have those individuals. The reality is, you have the brothers asking about the individual in the parable that I mentioned, the individual who sits on the path. Is this the individual who doesn't intend to do? Naam. Definitely. The person who's content. And what I mean by that, let's talk about individuals who are content. If an individual says, right now in my Islam, I'm good. And there's some people, and I have personally met people like this, says, I'm good in my Islam. You know, I've even met some people that said, I know for a fact the shaitan doesn't encourage me or whisper to me. That type of person is definitely, he's been conquered by the shaitan. He or she has been conquered by the shaitan. When you feel that the shaitan doesn't approach you, la ilaha illallah, Allah tells you in the Quran he approaches you. Allah tells you that he's going to come from different directions. Allah tells you he's the major deceiver. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغُرُورِ. Do not allow the life to deceive you, and do not allow the major deceiver to deceive you. Allah tells you all of that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told his companions about it. And now you have, in this day and age, a Muslim to say, I know the shaitan doesn't affect me or bother me or hinder me or deceive me. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ. Does not the one who created you know more than you? قُلْ أَتُعَلِّمُونَ اللَّهَ دِينَكُمْ. Allah says in the Quran, are you going to teach Allah your religion? So Allah knows. Allah taught you. Allah told you about him. Page after page, verse after verse, Allah told you about him. So for an individual to sit and say, I'm good in my Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never felt that he was good in his Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his companions, No one's actions will enter them into Jannah. The companion said, Ya Rasulullah, even you? He said, even me, except that my Lord shows me mercy. Except that my Lord shows me mercy. The Prophet ﷺ stood at night until his feet bled. Aisha said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah has forgiven you. He said, Should I not be grateful? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood in Mecca, and he called out to the leaders of his tribe, and he called out to Fatima, and he called out to his aunt, and he said, worship Allah, for verily I cannot save you from the punishment of Allah. Verily I cannot save you from the punishment of Allah. So the reality is, even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even the Prophet himself sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not the one. Would never said to it, I'm good in my mind. I'm good right here. Because no, it would never be like that. لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَتَقَدَّمَ أَوْ يَتَأَخَّرَ. Allah says, for those from amongst you who want to go forward or go backward. Allah himself, and I mentioned, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْنَا مُسْتَقْدِمِينَ مِنْكُمْ. We know those who are going forward and those who are going backward. So Allah himself in two different verses of the Quran said, so those who want to go forward and those who want to go backward. So Ibn Qayyim said there's no sitting. I'm good in my Islam. None of the people of the past have mentioned this. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala at his deathbed saying, La. And his son said to him, his son Abdullah bin Ahmad said to him, my father, and they felt that he was going to die. So my father, why are you saying La? Because the shaitan is at the foot of my bed right now saying, you won. You won. The shaitan, Imam Ahmad said, he saw the shaitan saying to him, and in any form, Allahu Alam, he didn't say the form. The shaitan was saying to him, you made it. Abu Abdullah, you made it. Yani, you're basically on your deathbed. You beat me. And Imam Ahmad saying, La, I haven't yet. Until Allah takes my soul from my body, it is a battle. Until Allah takes my soul from my body, it is a battle. And that's why Allah Ta'ala says, وَعْبُدُ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Allah said to his prophet, worship your Lord until certainty comes to you. Meaning, death. Allah says to his prophet, worship your Lord until death comes to you. Because the shaitan, he is going to stay on that path until the path is no longer in front of you. Once the angels of death come to you, there's no path in front of you. Now it's the goal. Did you reach it or did you fall short? So the reality is, the shaitan, he's going to remain. He's not, and subhanAllah, and we don't know him. We don't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, wastafziz man istata'at bi khaylika wa rajlika wa sharikhum fil amwali wal awladi wa idhum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wastafziz bi sawtika. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and lead them astray with your voice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and lead them astray with your voice. وَجْلِبْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْلِكَ وَرَجْلِكَ and come after them with your troops who are on horseback and your troops who are walking and join them in children and join them in wealth and promise them. Allah says that. So when Allah, and that's in Surah Isra. In Surah Isra. So lead them astray with your voice. Lead them astray with your voice. So he's going to come to you by whispering. He's going to come to you, and some of the scholars said, music. Ibn Abbas said, everything that calls you to evil, this is how he's going to come. He's not going to leave any path. So he says, guide them astray with your voice. Attack them with your army who is on horseback. Attack them with your army who is walking. Yani, don't leave any of your troops behind. Attack them with every, interesting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and attack them with your army who's on horseback. Because there are those from amongst us that are doing what? Racing. Like we said, the parable of racing. So Allah says, attack them with your army who is on horseback, so that they can catch up with the ones who are racing. And attack them with your army who's on foot, because some are walking. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you there's no direction except He's going to come. It's an army. Hizb. It's an army. And some of His army is walking, some of His army is on horseback. So if you're racing, if you're excelling, they're going to come at you as well. They're going to race with you. They're going to get ahead of you so they can plant the traps and they can put the sticks and they can dig the holes. They can build the tours. That's how the detour. That's how they're going to come at you. So the reality is, going back to the brother's question, there's no such thing as a person sitting and saying, I'm good where I am right now. The reality is, no, you're not. You need to protect yourself. You need to guard yourself. Why did the Prophet used to remember Allah 100 times a day? Why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray at night? Why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, methadin, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with his companions. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with his companions. He got up and he entered into his home and he came back and the companion saw that his hair and his beard were dripping from water. His hair and his beard were dripping from water, as if he had took a wudu or a ghusl. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, you were sitting with us, and then we noticed that you got up. Abruptly you got up, and you went into your house, and you came back out, and now it looks like you took a ghusl or something. The Prophet ﷺ said, yes, a woman just passed. He said, yes, a woman just passed. So I went inside, and I did what I was supposed to do with his family. So the Prophet ﷺ is cutting off the path of the shaitan. See how the Prophet used to cut off the path of the shaitan? A woman passed? Desires. Let me go fulfill my desires. So now the shaitan can't make me start thinking about her. Where is she going? Who is she? How does she look? No. The Prophet ﷺ cut off his path. Cut off the path of the shaitan. One day the Prophet ﷺ was in the masjid on i'tikaf with Safiya, his wife. He was walking her out, because the wife can visit you. but you shouldn't have relations, obviously. He was walking her out of the masjid. Two companions started walking quickly. The Prophet ﷺ went to them and said, take it easy, that's my wife. They said, Ya Rasulallah, we would never think bad about you. He said, yeah, but the shaitan runs in the veins of the human. I'm cutting the shaitan from you right now, from thinking that Muhammad is walking with a woman who he shouldn't be walking with. The Prophet cut the path of the shaitan. So, not only, the reality is, and it's good you asked the question, not only do we have to do what we need to do to excel, but part of our excelling is that we cut off his path. Is that we cut off his path. And we see it done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now. Yes. No. No, as the brother is mentioning about the affair of Taqwa and the fact that the people of Taqwa on Yawm al-Qiyamah would have a higher status than the rest of creation, indeed. And there's a hadith in that regard. There's a hadith in that regard. Many ahadith and many statements of Allah Azza wa Jal. Before the ahadith, the statements of Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran about Taqwa. And we mentioned, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the final affair would be for those who have taqwa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُونِ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, and fear me, O you who have intellect and understanding. So the reality is, if we read in the Quran, you find many, many verses about the affair of taqwa, and you find many statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sunnah about the affair of taqwa. And from those, the one that comes to me off the top of my head, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned about سَبْعَةٌ يُذِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ذِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ذِلَّ إِلَّا ذِلُّ. The seven people who will be protected in a shade that Allah Azza wa Jal would provide on a day that there's no shade. And one of those individuals is a person who is called by a woman who has beauty and wealth. A woman calls a man who has beauty and wealth. She calls him to do evil deed. فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ, and that man said, I fear my Lord. Allah would shade him on a day that there's no shade except the shade that Allah provides. And likewise, an individual's ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ, a person who remembered Allah while he was alone. He was alone. It's easy to remember Allah in front of the people. It's easy to have taqwa in front of the people, because you don't want the people to feel that you're upon sin. So we find those from amongst us, when the people are around, we lower our gaze. The people are around, we are extra righteous. But when we are in the confines of our own home, and the doors are closed, we find that we do that which is displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, an individual who remembered Allah when he was alone, no one around, no one to look at your tears, فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ, and his eyes became filled with tears. So this also would be an individual who would be shaded on a day that there's no shade except the shade that Allah provides. And there are many other benefits of taqwa, extreme benefits of taqwa. And this is indeed something for us to acquire, but that which I would advise you to do is a book translated, The Benefits of Taqwa by Sheikh Uthaymeen. By Sheikh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, The Benefits of Taqwa. And he mentions it all from the Quran. He mentions it all from the Quran, The Benefits of Taqwa. And it's all from the Quran. It would be a very beneficial book for. And it's nothing of the speech of Sheikh Uthaymeen. He just says, taqwa brings about this, this is the proof. Taqwa brings about this, this is the proof. Taqwa brings about this, this is the proof. This is something that would be very beneficial for the brothers to read and the sisters to read. And maybe we can encourage, you know, if a brother or a sister wants to bring it to the masjid, you know, and read it to the brothers, you know, between the adhan and the iqamah. Just bring the book to the masjid and read it to the brothers. And this is one of the ways you cut off the path of the shaitan. And this is one of the ways that you excel. It's thin. About 25 to 30 pages. 25 to 30 pages. Now.
Okay, you say that if you find yourself held back to worship Allah, you have been affected by the shaitan.
No.
Now,
No.
Now, some individuals, I'm talking to you, I got nobody said for me. For me, like, everybody's life is different.
No.
My life was one. So sometimes I think back to things that I did, you know what I mean? And I have to say that how does an individual remove that affliction that you've been affected so many years? You done did so much dirt.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
That the shaitan has led you astray prior to accepting Islam. You done did so much dirt that it can still affect you.
No. Five, what I'm going to request for, because it's a good question. It's a good question, and it's going to take time for me to answer it. So what I'm going to request is that you allow me to answer that after iftar. So that I can answer it, I can take my time, and more people can hear how. Inshallah. So I'm going to answer that question after iftar, so more people can benefit from it. Inshallah ta'ala. The brothers, asking about, in summary, if an individual in their life has committed so much, which is displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, how do they remove the effects of that on them so that they won't have the difficulty in performing good deeds and they won't find it easy to fall into sin and the likes of that? And there's no doubt that because of the sin, it has its effect. It has its effect on us. So I responded to the brother that I want others to benefit from that response. And I would like time to reflect over it as well so that I can give a thorough answer as well. So inshallah, I will answer that question after the iftar, after Salatul Maghrib. I'll take some time to answer that question, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallah. We're fasting, and I'm fasting, so I would like some time to relax in preparation for the breaking of the fast. Allah knows best, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad, alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima kathira. To, if an individual has major sins before Islam and fell into that which is displeasing to Allah, then he comes into Islam, but he has done so much before Islam that he still finds that he's affected by it, and this possibly leads the individual to falling into sin easily and the likes. Now, how does a person remove that? Several things can be said in response to that question. And for one, the individual has to make sincere dua to Allah that Allah Azza wa Jal removes that love and like of sin from within him. Allah Ta'ala says, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ. Who is the one who would answer the caller and remove the harm? So that is Allah. Who is the one who will answer the caller and remove the harm? And that is Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal answers the caller and He removes the harm. So it's important that that individual, and Allah Ta'ala says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ عُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And your Lord says, call on me and I will answer you. So this is one thing that's important, that the believer has to make sincere dua to Allah Azza wa Jal that Allah removes it. And before I continue with my advice to the questioner and anyone else that has that situation, his question reminds me of the book that was written by Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala called Al-Da'u wa Dawa, and it's also called Al-Jawab al-Kafi. That book was written by Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, and it's all about sins and the ill effects of sins and the burden of sins and the end result of sinning. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala tells you in the introduction to that book, he says, I was approached by a brother, and the brother said to me, that I have a sin that I've been committing and I'm trying to repent from. And I fear that if I don't repent from this sin and I don't remove this sin from my life, that it would destroy me in this life and the next. So Ibn Qayyim said, so he mentioned that statement, but he didn't tell him what the sin was. Because at times, and this is recommended, that a believer doesn't inform of his sins. That a believer doesn't inform of his sins. Unless the individual needs specific, detailed advice. So the man that approached Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala didn't inform of the detail of the sin. But he just informed of the level that if I don't remove this sin from my life, it's going to destroy me in this life and the next. So Ibn Qayyim said, so I wrote a book about the ins and outs of sins. So he sat down, rahimahullah ta'ala, and wrote a book about sins. So that reminded me when the brother had that question, that reminded me of that, you know, the reason why Ibn Qayyim wrote that book, rahimahullah ta'ala. And there are portions of that book which are present in English. The Disease and the Cure. The Disease and the Cure. And that leads me to continue. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala mentions the fact that Allah, the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma anzal Allahu da' illa wa anzal lahu shifa'. Alimahu man alimahu wa jahilahu man jahila." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah has not sent a disease except that He has sent a cure. Whoever knows the cure knows the cure, and whoever is ignorant of the cure is ignorant of the cure. So the reality is, there's nothing that of sin. There's nothing of sin except that there is a cure for it. Except there is a cure for it. So, walillah alhamd, the believer should have good thoughts of his Lord. The believer should have good thoughts of his Lord, and he should know with certainty, he or she must know with certainty that Allah Azza wa Jal can remove whatever is afflicting you and harming you in your life of sin. So, for one, the individual has good thoughts of his Lord. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah Azza wa Jal said, Ana inda dhanni abdi. Be. The Prophet said that Allah Azza wa Jal said, I am as my servant thinks of me. I am as if my servant, you know, I am as my servant thinks of me. So if my servant has good thoughts about me, I'm going to, you know, meet his expectations and even more. So the reality, we have good thoughts about our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have firm belief that Allah Azza wa Jal can remove this from us. Then the individual supplicates to Allah. He supplicates to Allah. And in that same book, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala talks about supplication and the importance of supplication and how an individual should call on Allah using His names and using His attributes. And likewise, the individual should choose the best timing to call on Allah Azza wa Jal, such as between the Adhan and the Iqamah, such as the last part of the night. The hadith of Abu Huraira where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, يَنْزِلُ رَبُّكُمْ كُلَّ لَيْلَ حِينَ يَبْقَى ثُلْثَ لَيْلِ الْأَخِيرِ. أو كما قال sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your Lord descends to the sky when there remains the last portion of the night. And Allah Ta'ala says, هَلْ مِنْ سَائِلٍ أَعْطِيَهُ. Is there anyone asking so I can give it to him? Is there anyone calling on me so I can fulfill his call? Is there anyone seeking from me so that I may fulfill that which he is seeking? So Allah Azza wa Jal descends every night so that you, whoever's calling on him, whoever's seeking from him, Allah Ta'ala wants to answer your call. So Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala goes through the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, talking about the specific times that supplication is more answered. The traveler, when it's raining, when a person is sick and the likes of that, he goes through. So that's important, that a person not only supplicates to Allah, but that the person also chooses the best time to supplicate to Allah. And they're very diligent in doing so. Also keeping in mind that Allah is going to answer the call. You know, Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to answer the call. A third thing that the individual must understand is that he has to be patient. He has to be patient. The reason why we say that, and this is a reality that we all have to reflect over, it's possible, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure all of us and to forgive our sins. You have those from amongst us that have been committing sins for years. And we're talking about after Islam. Talking about after Islam. You have an individual method. And just this is an example. You might have an individual who has been dating. Wa na'udhu billah. He's been dating. And he's been dating for a year, 2 years, 3 years, in and out. Relationships that are impermissible. That which is displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. So he's been dating for 3, 4, 5 years. And then he says, I'm going to repent to Allah Azza wa Jal. He says, I'm going to repent to Allah Azza wa Jal. And then, methadone, he loses his job. This is just an example. He loses his job. He's been dating for 5 years. He repents to Allah. He loses his job. When he loses his job, he's sad. He supplicates to Allah Azza wa Jal. Oh Allah, give me a new job. Oh Allah, give me a new job. A month, two goes by. He doesn't get a new job. He stops supplicating to Allah. He stops supplicating. He said, SubhanAllah, I repented from fornication and adultery. I repented from it. And now I'm supplicating to Allah. Even if he doesn't say it with his tongue, he says it with his actions. He feels it with inside. I've repented from a sin. Now I'm supplicating to Allah. I'm not being answered. La ilaha illallah. Allah was patient with you having your impermissible relationship for 5 years. And now you can't be patient with your Lord for a month or two. So the reality is we have to be patient when supplicating to Allah Azza wa Jal. And we have to think, وَمَا قَدْرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. You have not given Allah His right. You have not given Allah His right for you to say, I've been supplicating and Allah hasn't answered my supplication. While you were fornicating and committing adultery, Allah was giving you oxygen. Allah was giving you food. Allah was giving you intellect. Allah was still providing for you. So Allah was being merciful to you while you were being disobedient to Allah. So the reality is the individual has to be patient when he's supplicating to Allah. So that's another thing. A third thing or a fourth thing is that the individual has to try to be around good companions. He has to try to be around good companions. And we know the example of the individual who killed 99 and then he killed 100 people. And this individual wanted to repent. But what was a key element to his repentance is he had to remove himself from that environment. And every time the longer he stayed in the environment, the more he committed. It was 99 and then he committed, the 100th. And, so he had to get out of that environment. And the individual that spoke to him last said, you can repent. There's nothing that was going to come to you between you and repentance, but you have to leave this place. So the reality is an individual, if he wants to try to rectify that which is within of sin and the love of the sin, it's possible that that individual has to remove himself far away from the sin. He has to remove himself far away from the sin. And this, for one, it would make the sin foreign and more foreign to him. And for two, it would show Allah that the individual is sincere. It would show Allah that the individual is sincere. And unfortunately, you have those from amongst us that we say we repent upon our tongues, but we keep the DVDs, we keep the music, we keep the we keep whatever around our environment that doesn't show Allah our sincerity. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, "In ya'lam Allahu fi qulubikum khayran." If Allah knows in your heart that you are good, Allah will give you that which is better. If Allah knows in your heart that you are good, Allah will give you that which is better. Allah knows everything. So when an individual, you might be able to fool yourself by saying, "I'm repenting," and you just putting your sins on pause. Like, unfortunately, some of us, we put our sins on pause in the month of Ramadan. We put our sins on pause. But Allah knows that you haven't gotten rid of the sin. Allah knows that deep in your chest, you're going to go back to it. But when an individual removes himself from the environment, yani, this shows sincerity to Allah. We know the example of Yusuf, alayhi salatu wasalam. We know the example of Yusuf. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, in the Quran, Yusuf was approached by a female who had wealth. And she approached him in a manner that was very easy for him to commit a sin and get away with it. Commit a sin and get away with it. He ran from her, and her husband caught them at the door, and we know the story. Then later on, the females who were present in the city, they began to speak bad about the king's wife. They began to speak bad. They said she's trying to, you know, she's trying to, what's the word? Seduce. She's trying to seduce her young boy. She's trying to seduce him. So she wanted to prove to the women that if you saw what I saw, you would also do the same thing. So she made a gathering of women, and she gave them fruits, and she gave them knives. And because Yusuf was like being raised by the king and his family, she ordered Yusuf, go into that courtyard, go into that area. Yusuf passed by, the women looked at him, and they said, SubhanAllah, this cannot be a man. This is only an angel. And they cut their hands. After that, if you read the tafsir, after that, not only was it the king's wife that wanted to seduce Yusuf, but all of the women of the village wanted to seduce Yusuf. All of them wanted to seduce him. When Yusuf realized that all of the women were after him, he said, Rabbi asijnu ahabbu ilayya mimma yad'unani ilay. When he realized that all of the women were after him, he said, Oh my Lord, jail is more preferred to me than that which they are calling me to. Jail. I want to, if it takes that I need to be in jail, put me in jail. But I do not want to fall into anything with these women. So that's the way of the believer. The way of the believer, if you have to take yourself out of an environment that, you know, makes it easy for you to fall into sin, then you got to do it for Allah Azza wa Jal. You got to do it for Allah Azza wa Jal. So we have that example in the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And constant remembrance of Allah, another thing that would help an individual is constant remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. You constantly remember Allah. An individual came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, it's difficult for me. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لا يزال لسانك رطباً بذكر الله. Your tongue should remain wet in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is something that would also help an individual with regards to removing that love of sin. Another thing that would help the individual is constant recitation of the Quran. If you constantly read the Quran, keep the Quran with you, read it. As the Salaf used to say, أَدِيمُ النَّذَرَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. The Salaf used to say, read the Quran. Always read the Quran. Because the Quran is a cure. It's a shifa. لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. It is a cure. Allah described it as that. شِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah described it as, it is a cure for that which is in the chest. So that's another thing. That the person constantly reads the Quran. Makes it a part of his everyday life. Another thing which would help the individual, inshallah ta'ala, is that the individual needs to reflect over that which Allah has prepared for him in Jannah. Reflect over that which Allah has prepared for him in Jannah. لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. Jannah has that which no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has anyone ever imagined. So yes, this thing in this life might be pleasing. It might be attractive. It might be this, it might be that. But that which Allah has prepared for the believers is much greater. Am I going to compromise that which Allah has prepared for me in the next life just for this moment of happiness? The smart individual says no. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. You prefer this life. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. But the next life is better and everlasting. So the way the believer, he can say, you know, I can have this right now. I can have this. I can have my joy right now. But I'm going to incur the anger of my Lord, and I might forbid myself of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for me in the next life. So this is just some advice that I had for the person that asked that question and for all of us. And there's probably much more that can be said. But now I will pass the microphone to Brother Waleed. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to benefit from that which was said. Allah knows best. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.